So the microphone I had left on, though, so that, make sure that's on.
It's good. I think we're ready. We're rolling. In 3, 2, 1. Good morning again, everyone.
Good morning again, everyone.
Howdy.
There you go. Didn't want those listening in cyberspace to think that I was preaching in front of a mirror again. No cracks about admission work, because you just never know. Zimbabwe is beautiful this time of year. You all should come visit. We're going to be in Deuteronomy 7 this morning. I have never once backed down in my professed love of the book of Deuteronomy. I view Deuteronomy as a nice synopsis, a nice summary, a nice bow-tied package of information on Israel and what they did. But as I have read Deuteronomy, it seems to be not embellished. That's not a good word, because that would imply falsities. What it does, though, is it kind of enhances a little bit. It enhances their situation. It kind of builds it up a little bit. And it really gives some insight, kind of in the same way, and as we'll be studying the Kings again next week, you know, there's just a, and I think that's why the Lord allows this, there's just a little bit of a difference in one version than the other. One doesn't contradict the other. One enhances the other. One colors the other. So with Deuteronomy, it's kind of a recap of, man, you guys really messed up. And Moses is not going in. Joshua, you're the leader. It's stuff that really was already covered. The Kadesh Barnea situation was already covered. But what this does, and we're going to notice this here in chapter 7, what it does is it really kind of puts out there in a little more colorful way their situation, good and bad. Today, for the sake of Visitors Sunday and all the visitors that are here, I really would like to try to keep the entire message, the entire interaction, uplifting. Okay? Deuteronomy 28 is a great chapter. We're going to go over there. Okay? It has 14 wonderful verses on obedience and the blessings of being obedient. The rest of the chapter, we're not going to discuss, because we're trying to keep it uplifting, okay? The other 60 verses, we're not going to avoid it. We're just going to, we'll discuss it another time, okay? I was in Houston, Texas for 3 days. And all corporations do this. And it's really just dumb, all right? People who invented this are just dopes, okay? Anyone who's worked for a corporation says, why don't you know this? No one ever has problems. What do they have? Opportunities. I want to meet the guy who invented that, because that's just stupid. All right? You have an issue, say it. No. We have challenges. Come on. Am I right? Have you heard that? Okay, come on. So I had 3 days of this. So I'm like, how can I turn this 3-day package of boredom and horrible turbulence coming into Denver, how can I spin that around? And so in an airport in Houston, Texas, in which I was 2 hours early, and my phone died from texting. This is international symbol for texting, by the way. How can I turn this exhausting trip into a positive? And so really what I was doing was, instead of the trip was a disaster, I hated it, I had an opportunity to learn things. And it's dumb. But what we're going to do is we're going to take some of the positives of the Lord's interaction with His people, and the positive aspect of it. And this is really meant for Visitor Sunday and all the visitors who are here. We're going to keep it uplifting. Okay? I've got several verses on the blessings of obedience. When you obey, is there a negative to it? Of course. The Bible's full of the cursings for disobedience. The Bible is full of those things that make you fear, and rightfully so. Okay, what I want to focus on, for the sake of Visitor Sunday, and the imbalance in the room right now, is to really just focus on what will we achieve by obeying? If we obey, when we obey, what's in it for us? That sounds selfish. Brother Andrew talked about selfishness. And he said, you know, he's probably selfish. You know, he is. No, I'm just kidding.
Strike that.
You know, we all have selfish tendencies, but really, we're promised things when we obey. The Lord doesn't expect us to obey purely for obedience' sake without some sort of carrot at the end. He knows that obedience to Him is vital in our service. We cannot freelance in our service. We have to obey the preset rules. So all we're going to look at is the blessing aspect of it. Okay, the disobedience stuff, you go back and read that some other time. All right, we're going to try to keep it uplifting today. So in Deuteronomy 7, one of my, for those who know me, before I took the mission work in Zimbabwe, for those who know me, Deuteronomy is one of my favorite books. Deuteronomy 7 is one of my favorite chapters. Okay. Deuteronomy 7 tends to be uplifting, and I'm going to write a number down, unorthodox when it comes to preaching, I know, but I'm going to write a number down, not with that pen. I'm going to write a number down with this pen. 15. No, Pastor, not the number of Vince Ferragamo. However, this is a number that we're going to look at today, just real briefly, because we're going to see in Deuteronomy 7, we're going to see this phrase. Fifteen times. Lord, your God. See, when you obey, the Lord becomes your God. Okay? And what I noticed in Deuteronomy 28, which we'll get to, in the challenging, opportunity-filled section of that chapter, this is used sparingly. Okay? It's, the Lord will do this. The Lord will do that. The Lord will bring about this. The Lord will stop this. The Lord will allow this. Okay. The only times in Deuteronomy 28, in the second 3/4, that the Lord your God is used is when it says, and when you don't serve the Lord your God, meaning that when you're in a position to call Him the Lord your God and you choose not to, any sort of reference to wrath, He just becomes the Lord. Okay? I don't think that's coincidental. But in 7 here, right away, what does he say? When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, 7 nations greater and mightier than you, and when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, no show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images with fire. Part of this also germinated out of our current Sunday school study. The Lord can't make this any clearer. This is something that Saul, David, Solomon, and every king after knew. And this is written in their scripture. They had this as written account of what God was saying. They had no excuse to build high places and to intermarry with foreign women. So as we conclude our study of Solomon next week, we're going to see that he blew this one to death. I mean, this is something that was his downfall. And so so we see that instead what he wanted them to do as a nation, as they approached them, to destroy this stuff. Don't marry. Destroy it. Don't keep it. don't cross out, you know, Ashtaroth and put Jehovah, okay? I don't want that. I don't want used garbage from other nations. I want my own stuff in there. I want my own sacredness in the land. And then he says, you know what? It's because you're a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Six verses, four references to the Lord your God. Okay? It's a closeness. They were obedient. They were disobedient at this time. He's projecting Joshua's reign. He's projecting when Joshua's taking over, and he's saying, look, I am the Lord your God. He's freely calling himself this. I'm the Lord your God. The Lord did not set his love on you and choose you because you are more in number than any of the other people. For you are the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations, and with those who love him and keep his commandments. That's going to be the theme throughout. Let's talk about obedience in an uplifting way today. That's the theme of what I'm going to try to do this morning. Again, some of this came from this ghetto conference that I just got back from. Some of it came from this study of Solomon. And we're going to go over to 1 Kings here in just a little bit, so keep that in the back of your mind. But there are blessings for obedience. There were blessings for Israel to obey. There were blessings for them overcoming the daily temptations of the nations. See, each nation brought about its own temptation for Israel. Every situation, every land they conquered, provided something new for them. A new challenge for them to overcome. Really, it was a new problem. And it was a brand new thorn that threatened to stab them in the side and stay there. And so they had to overcome that. Let's keep going there in chapter 7. In verse 17, let's look at what he says here. Let's go to verse 12. I'm sorry. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you with the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your land, your grain, and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle, offspring of your flock, land in which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Also, you will destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers to you. Your eyes shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. Why would you want to serve their gods when it's Yahweh who's making everything not barren? When he's blessing with fruit and children, and there's not even a livestock out there who isn't producing offspring. I mean, why would you want to? So let's take this mindset and let's apply it to today. We all have felt good in the Lord. Am I right? We've all had that unstoppable feeling. We've all had that nothing can touch us. The Lord and I are arm in arm walking down this trail of life, right? Am I right? I hope so. Anyone not had that feeling? You know what? Don't raise your hand. Pastor's number is 251. I would maybe give him a holla. We've all had that closeness feeling where it's you and the Lord and you're arm in arm and you're, I'm a witness to everyone. I don't know who did it. I have a good idea. But I don't know who did it. But at Rosar's, saw a track in a cart. All right. One of our tracks. Whoever had the cart didn't take it, so we positioned it for the next person. Okay? Awesome. Thank you. That's great. Yeah, smoking. So you said smoking? Yeah, nice. We've all had that feeling where it's unstoppable. I'm a witness to every person I see. Hey, you. person on the street. Come here, let me tell you about the Lord. It's that sort of high. And that's a great feeling. It's the Lord my God. And it's the Lord saying, you my son, my child. It's this closeness. And again, in the attempt to try to keep it uplifting, there's nothing that can happen that keeps you, that tears that closeness, that perforates you from the Lord. There's nothing that can happen. And that's a great feeling. It's that feeling that just lends itself to obedience. Why in the world would you succumb to temptation when you've got the Lord? Am I right? We've all had that feeling. That's a great feeling. On the other side, nope, we're keeping it uplifting. That's a great feeling. The obedience comes naturally. When you crack open an egg, a yolk's coming out. All right, it's just a natural reaction when you open up an egg. I've had several eggs in my life. I had some yesterday. I know that happens. It's a natural reaction. When you're close to the Lord, the obedience comes easily. And so he says, look, when this happens, they won't even be a snare for you. Because you'll be so arm in arm with Yahweh, it's not even an option in your mind. That's a great feeling. If you should say in your heart, 17, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. See, isn't that at the forefront of your mind when you're arm in arm with the Lord? Every time He has allowed you to overcome is always right there. It's never this, woe is me, the Lord hates me, I'm a loser. Okay? That never happens when you're arm in arm with the Lord. When the obedience is natural and it's just a natural feeling, that's a natural tendency. And so that question, how am I gonna dispossess them? How am I gonna overcome this? Oh yeah, I've got the Lord. And I'm reminded of every other time that He allowed me to overcome. Every other time He empowered me to overcome this temptation. He says, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arms by which the Lord your God brought you out, so shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. So you have nothing to be afraid of when you're in total obedience to the Lord. And Brother Andrew's Sunday school lesson, I don't know how, you know, it's like we grew up together or something, because it was right on. Like you were right there. Like it was real close to me coming up there and slapping you and saying stop. Because you were just teetering on taking, you know, and then we'd be home. Because I got nothing. And so this is it. I mean, this is my nose, people. I mean, I'm sorry. We ran out of watermelon paper. So even more so, in verse 20, moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them. Until those who are left, who hide themselves from you, are destroyed. The people you can't see, He's going to get rid of. A hornet. What's a hornet? Help me out. Like that? Okay. It may not be literal. It could be literal. The Lord could do it. But again, it's that sort of thing. I'm going to send an ant. He's going to kill the entire army. It's the idea of the impossible that the Lord can accomplish. It's the idea that when the obedience is so enmeshed with our daily walk that it's like breathing in and out, it doesn't matter how the Lord does it, you know He's going to do it.
Right.
Verse 21, you shall not be terrified of Him, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. He's got you. Don't worry about it. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You'll be unable to destroy them at once. Lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. This is another great example of how slow the Lord is. If He did things quickly, where's our faith? He's got to unravel it piece by piece. He's going to do it slowly, one nation at a time. Could He have atomic bombed the entire area and let them start over? Of course He could have. But He didn't, on purpose. He wanted each nation, each group, each section of each nation to be a different test every time. To test their faith a little more. I even think the nations got bigger as they got deeper in there as a test to their faith. He mentioned seven mighty nations. I think the Lord went from smallest to biggest, because who's going to have the most fertile land? The biggest group. Okay? So they went from the people who were happy with the crumbs, still mighty, but happy with the outskirts of the fertile land. I think they got mightier as they went. And I think that made Joshua's conquest and their entrance into it even bigger, because they had to slowly build to get to the mightiest nation. And so God allowed that to happen. He will deliver their kings into your hands, and you will destroy their name from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. And then here's what you're going to do. When you overcome, again, please apply this to your own life. I cannot apply this to your life. Please apply this to your own life. When the Lord reveals these things, it's now our job to get rid of it. The Lord cannot get rid of it for us. He can reveal it to us, but we have to take action on our own lives and, what'd you say, excommunicate these things from our life. We have to, okay? If we allow the high places, if we allow the idols and the gods, and if we allow... it's all just going to come back. It's going to come right back and haunt us. And so he says, when this happens, here's what you're going to do. Here's what I recommend as God. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that's on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Make the memory of those things disappear. I don't want you to remember them. I don't want you to play with them. I don't want you to wear them, dance around them, pretend you like them. Use them as a Christmas tree. I don't want you doing anything that's any reminder of this past that I'm bringing you through. Ouch. They didn't do that. We don't do that. That's not uplifting. Verse 26, you shall bring, nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. Doesn't this come hand in hand with obedience? It just does. When something smells good, other stuff stinks. Okay? I don't have an example on that, but I'm just going to tell you. When you smell, what's something that smells good?
Coffee.
It's something that I'm no longer addicted to that smells good. Anyone?
Compost. Fresh baked bread.
Fresh baked bread. Nice. We're on. All right. Fresh baked bread. When you smell that, just picture it. Picture smelling freshly baked bread, or coffee, because, man, the coffee row in every grocery store is just so wrong how good that smells. Yeah, I miss it. I'll confess. But anyways, There's so many great smells that the Lord, and the Lord gave us a sense of smell. There's so many things that smell fantastic, you know. Pantene smells great. I don't know why, but Pantene just smells fantastic. It's better than, like, Prel. It smells like grease, okay? So when you're in the environment of a great smelling scent, bread, Daddy's cologne, when you're in an environment that smells great, and somebody brings their pet skunk, it cuts through the smell, and that's all you can smell. Right? Get rid of the smell. Get rid of those things that are so glaringly, obviously smelly in your life. You notice the malodorous odor more often when you're surrounded by the things that smell good. And what smells good is obedience to the Lord and following Him. And so when that temptation, when you're surrounded by that, picture the smell of obedience wrapped up like a blanket. Okay? I have a couple blankets. Yeah, they're rams. But still, I have them. And one of them is really warm. The other one's for decoration. One of them's really warm. Guess where that is? One of them's really warm, and it feels really good. When you're wrapped up in that, you're just surrounded by it. You're engulfed by it. When that chill comes in, when someone opens the door and leaves it open, I'm not saying who, but anyways, when someone opens the door, you feel it. But automatically, that makes you close the blanket a little tighter. Without a blanket, you'll eventually get used to that cold. You may want the blanket. You may be too lazy to get up across the room and go get it. But eventually you'll get used to the cold. The Lord and obeying Him is that blanket. The cold is what the devil throws at us. A custom cold that he throws at us. To slowly make us used to it. Okay? And that's what Israel did. When Israel did not get rid of the stuff, it eventually became okay. And so as we'll study in Kings, that which made Joshua turn in his grave was a step of progress for Israel. Andy mentioned this nation.
Excuse me, Father Andrew.
Mentioned this nation. What would turn the stomach of Theodore Roosevelt is now acceptable and considered somewhat moral. Okay? That's how the world goes. And that's what happens when you take off the blanket and allow the devil's weather to continue to wear you down. And that's what Israel did. These kings never, as we'll study, these kings never got back to the closeness that they had with Joshua. They never got back to that point. When they got back to a certain point, if Joshua was a 10 and they stooped all the way to 3 during some of these kings, when they got back to a 5, the nation's never been closer to God. That's how it felt.
That's right.
But yet they never achieved that 10 again. Because the devil continued to beat on them and beat on them and beat on them. And even though, yeah, we found the law and we're gonna re-energize ourselves. Here it is. Well, no, don't tear that down. That looks nice there. Okay? It was never the same. It never got back to that. And so, Deuteronomy 28, let's go over there, just a few chapters over. We see this all of the time. We see it in Israel's history. We see it in individuals' history throughout the entire New Testament. We see people come and go. We see people come and go and go and come and go. And this is just what happens. They're not enmeshed with this obedience. They're not arm in arm with the Lord. They keep Him at arm's length. And that allows the devil to attack. The devil doesn't, ha, when you're walking arm in arm with the Lord. He slowly distracts you along the trail. And that's what He did with Israel. And that's what He does with us. If you're arm in arm with the Lord, feeling good, all that stuff we talked about, the feeling good, this is it. The devil's not going to come out and like Howard Dean. You know, he's not going to do that, right? We're going to hell. Then we're going to Hades. You know, okay? He doesn't do that. As you're walking, that's what happens. And it's subtle. And it's cunning. But from Genesis 3, that's how He's been described. That's how He is. He's never just out there and make it obvious that He's the devil. That's why the devil doesn't have red horns and a pitchfork. Everyone knows He's the devil. It's so subtle and so sly, but yet that's what He does, and that's how He got Israel. They didn't tear down all the high places. He fell in love with foreign women who eventually turned His heart. Come on! What noise was that I just made? That was a little odd. I didn't think I had that in me. All right. 28:1. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of your Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. The blessings of obedience is what this chapter is titled in my Bible, / Brother Oldie's Bible, / Brother Scott's Bible, okay? It's the blessings of obedience, the blessings on obedience. It's if you obey, here's what you're going to get. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Isn't that the warm blanket? Isn't that the suffocating feeling of of the blessings because of the obedience, if you put on the blanket, man, it's going to feel so good. It's going to suffocate you how warm it is. It's like, and it's the blessings will come upon you. They'll overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. It's going to be so overwhelming, these blessings, because it goes hand in hand with obedience. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce, the increase of your herds, your cattle, your flocks, your basket, your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed when you go out. He could have just said,
you'll be blessed all the time,
and it would have been fine. He's emphasizing, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, whether it has to do with a cow, bread, sheep, kids, whatever, I'm going to bless your robe off. I'm going to bless you until it overtakes you. It's suffocating. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you, to be defeated before your face. I'm going to raise them up just for you to kill. Just to show my power. Just to show what I'm going to do for you when you obey. They shall come out against you one way and flee out seven ways. Love that. They're going to come in, we're going to get Israel. And then it's, oh, I can't run. Okay, they're out of there. And it's basically all hands abandon ship. Y'all came on together, but it's like, any way you can get out of here, go. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself. Just that by itself. I don't care about the cows and the bread and the enemies. Just the establishment of being His holy people is probably blessing enough. But again, doesn't it come back to on this earth, while you're here, everyone's going to know I'm blessing you. Everyone's going to know it. Might as well. Just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods, and the fruit of your body, increase of your livestock, produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. The Lord will open to you His good treasure. Oh, the heavens! And give you rain to your land in its season, and bless the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. We got so much stuff. Here's a dollar. I'm going to kill you. Right? You know, you'll never have to borrow. You'll never have to worry about anything. I have a mortgage. I don't know about how many people paid cash for their house right here. Show of hands. First guy, anyone? I got a mortgage. Not bad. It's still money, you know. It's, you know, $9,000 a month. I wish I could spend somewhere else, you know. Just kidding. That's just crazy. But with obedience, He's saying, Israel, you never have to borrow a thing. You're going to have so much, you're going to be able to dole it out. And the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and are careful to observe them. Carefully observe them. So you should not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or the left and go after other gods and serve them. He's just warning them. Just be careful. But it shall come to pass. Oh no, we're keeping it uplifting. We'll stop right there. 1 Kings 3. This was kind of the main verse that I built this around. In discussing Solomon. 1 Kings 3:14. Let's take a look at this. This is great. Solomon. Solomon is a great example of what not to do. The guy had it all, as we've studied over the last couple of weeks. We'll wrap it up real quick on Sunday. But in 3:14 it says, "So if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, I'll lengthen your days." That's obedience. If you do that, Solomon, I'll make it worth your while. Let's go to 6:12. Now he's talking to Solomon about the temple. In verse 11 it says, "The word of the Lord came to Solomon saying, concerning this temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgments, keep all my commandments, and walk in them, I'll perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David, and I'll dwell among the children of Israel, and not forsake my people Israel." So what did Solomon do?
He finished the temple. Hey, if that's what this means, I'm going to finish this thing. Let's get it done. Or as Brother Andrew would say, let's get her done. Let's finish it up. And so we did. Solomon built the temple and finished it. Hey, if that's what it takes, I'm going to do it. I'll dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. And you got to keep the statutes. It's not a ticket. It's not Willy Wonka. This is not just you buy a candy bar, you get a golden ticket, right? Oh, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity we have being serving the Lord here. This is not you get another chance. This is it. And this is what he's trying to tell Israel. Here's your opportunity. Hate that word. Except for when it comes to opportunity resource. Those guys are actually pretty good people over there. But the rest, it's their downfall. It's their problem. It's their challenge. It's their opportunity. However you want to say it. They were at a crossroads. That's what I told Peter yesterday. You're at a crossroads, brother. You're at a crossroads in your life. Seize this opportunity. It may not come again. Or in a year and a half. There's a whole bunch of stuff back there. And that's what he's telling Israel. It's what he's telling Solomon. Here's an opportunity to use the temple as the benchmark for when we really took off again. And Solomon couldn't even get out of his own life. Pure obedience. Unbridled dedication and devotion to the Lord. He couldn't even do it. He's the one who built the thing. And he couldn't even get out of his own way, and the lady's way, from taking 1,000 women, 700 wives, 300 concubines. Yeah, that's 1,000. He couldn't even get out of his own way after he has direct communication with the Lord. I'm not going to just bless you, Solomon. I'm going to dwell amongst Israel, and I'm going to be their God again. And he couldn't get out of his own way to do that. He couldn't end his life the same way David did, resting with his fathers, pleased with his closeness to the Lord. He couldn't even do it. How did he expect Israel to continue that when the example was set? Hey, we can go marry a Hittite. That Jebusite's checking me out. I mean, you know, it's that sort of thing. You know, the Hivites are highs. I mean, you know, we could go on. It's just, he set the example. He built the temple as a place for the ark and for the Lord to dwell. And as a symbol of God's greatness. And the nations coming to him, bringing tribute, including Sheba. And he couldn't get out of his own life what he was doing. Let's go to Job 36. Let's keep checking a few out. I'm just going to be a couple more minutes. So let's check out Job 36. There's some good stuff here. Blessings of obedience. Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperities and their years in pleasures. Wow! What a great verse. God's goodness is shown here. Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him, they'll spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Psalm 128. Let's roll over there. Psalm 128. Psalm's full of these. I just pulled out one. Just for time's sake. 128:4 is what I have. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Oh man. Proverbs 8:32. Proverbs 8:32. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. With the Lord comes wisdom. See, Solomon even said this. And he still couldn't do it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, who follows wisdom. Blessed is the man... Now therefore listen to me, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Obedience is key. We have nothing without obedience. Let's go to some current situations for us. Let's go to Mark 3. I'm just going to hit a few verses. And then, as I said, we'll call it good. We all know this
section of scripture, verse 34, Mark 3:34. And he looked around in the circle at those who sat about him. Remember, he said, hey, you know, my brother or your mother, your brothers are outside. He said, hey. He looked around him, those who sat with him. He said, hey, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Those people, that's a closeness with the Lord. That's a closeness. He's calling you kin when you obey. He who does the will of my Father. Let's go to John 14. These are kind of in just different orders, just as they popped in or as I researched it. Y'all should take a long trip somewhere sometime. It's a lot of downtime. It's great to read. I recommend buying an iPod. And I recommend putting the Old Testament and New Testament on the iPod, because I was actually able to listen to 1 Kings. It was the enhanced. So there were a lot of symbols and music in the background. And the Lord said, dun, dun, dun. It was, but hey, you know. You know, when you only slept for 3 hours, it's not too bad, actually. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Closeness. What did we talk about? What's the visual that we can take away from today? Arm in arm, walking down the trail of life with the Lord. And not doing this. Remember, we talked about this, and we, oh, there's a penny, or whatever. You know, I would go after the penny. But see, the devil knows that, so he'd put a penny right there, okay? And then, is that a dollar? You know? And then you keep walking, and the distractions come. But take away from today this closeness, because in all these verses, aren't we seeing that closeness with the Lord? My mother, my brother, my sisters, he will be my son. What does this one say again? In verse 23, we will come to him. My Father, me, my Father, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and we'll make our home with him. Let's go to another one in James 1:25. Love James. We went through James, remember? James is fantastic. James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed whatever he does. As it's all about action. I mean, there's none of this that the Lord is saying, putting out there. That's, you know, if you hear me, cool. If you don't, it's fine. This is action. This is doers. The people who obeyed and the people who are walking arm in arm with the Lord, and people like Joshua and Moses and David and Solomon, part one, those guys were doers with the Lord. Those guys were action takers. They took action when the Lord said jump. They asked how high. Because they were obeying Him. See, obedience is key. It's not a section of our service. It is our service. How do we know what to serve if we don't know what it says? Well, He says, hear my word. Listen to my word. So we have to obey that in order to even get started. 1 John 3:22. Just like 25 more scriptures, and then we'll get out of here. 1 John 3:22. Whatever we ask, we receive of Him. Why? Is this for anybody? Can Joe Blow, Episcopalian, ask Him whatever he wants? Say, look, whatever we ask, we'll receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do things that are pleasing in His sight. I mean, it's all tied together. He didn't bless people unless they obeyed Him. That's the key to all of this. So then, what does it mean? Well, later on, we'll be able to obey. Zechariah 3, yes, Zechariah 3. Thank you, long plane ride with nothing else to do. Zechariah 3. Now, this is good stuff. This is great. Zechariah 3:7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you walk in my ways, and if you'll keep my command, you shall also judge my house and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Brother, He's going to bless us. He's blessing us now for obeying us. Man, it's going to be so much better. If we choose to obey in this life, oh, it's over. There was a dunk contest. Andy knows what I'm going through. There's a dunk contest. I don't know if anyone watches basketball anymore. Nobody cares. I mean, the referees are betting on the games. Okay, whatever. I am still a fan. All right, I have an entire room dedicated to my team. Okay, I enjoy basketball. Well, there was a dunk contest. For those who don't know what that is, y'all get a bunch of four or five players together, you dunk and you vote and who's the best, right? Well, there was this one player, his name was Vince Carter, okay? And he's a pretty good player. He's you know, a human highlight film kind of guy. And he was winning. He was really neck and neck with this other guy. He does this dunk that I don't know that I've seen since. And it's funny because then he let everyone know about it. And I'm sorry, this isn't bull riding. I'm sorry for the early, but I have no bull riding examples or rodeo or whatever it is you do. So this is basketball. And he does this dunk that he dunks it, and he's hanging by the rim. Not that big a deal. Yeah, he's hanging by the rim in the bend of his elbow. Okay? Like this. So he didn't just make it over the hoop. He made it in through the hoop, and is now the rim is right here. He's hanging from the bend of his elbow. And when he did that, of course the crowd goes nuts, because he's hanging there like this, not like this, like this. He jumps down, pounds his chest, we won't get into that, but pounds his chest, looks into the camera, who's following him because the camera's right there, and he mouths, "It's over." He knew he had won. It's over. He's had it like three times. Coolest moment, except for when Kobe won the dunk contest. Coolest moment you've ever seen. In our spiritual life, we know that it's over if we continue to obey. Because there's not a single entity or spirit out there that can touch us. And when it is over, Revelation 22. This is the same guy who actually cleared a 7'1" guy in the Olympics. Jumped over him while he was standing there with his hands up. He was a pretty good ball player. Verse 7. 22:7, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Jump down to 14. "Blessed," verse 12, "and behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." When we're entering into the gates, we can look around and say, "It's over. We did it. We won. The gates of the city, the tree of life, we have no right to this. We have no claim to this. And he's going to let us do it if we obey? That's just wrong." It really is. But it's an opportunity for us that we can take advantage of. And so when we walk in and the Lord grants us this access, we know it's over. Paul knew it was over. He said, "There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's over. I know the Lord's going to bless me. I don't care how small I am. Change my name to small. Take my eyesight." He still did what he did. He was handicapped. He still did what he did. Take an opportunity resource. He still went after it. We are fully functional and we struggle. Come on. Obedience is a blanket. Obedience is a blanket, and what the devil tries to do is he tries to slowly make it cold. Take away the picture today of the arm in arm with the Lord. Take that away. And every time the obedience meter starts to dip a little bit, remember that picture. Remember the Lord walking arm in arm with you. Remember that closeness. Recall the former times when things were good. Let that be a motivator to bring you back. Let that be a motivator to continue in that. I'm not saying it's easy. You haven't heard me say that once. I, of all people, know it's not easy. Paul says, "The least of all, I would consider myself that. I don't deserve to be standing up here, let alone be in church today." But the Lord has grace. What would we do without grace? Remember that feeling of that closeness. Read Deuteronomy 7 and let that uplift you. Read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, and let that uplift you. The service today, I wanted to make it uplifting. I wanted to make it to where we go charging out of here, fists in the air, saying, it doesn't matter what comes at me, I've got the Lord. We have a special position that is so rare, that is so dwindling, that we've got to hold on to it. And so we are in a great position right now. Let's not forget that. Let's recall the moments, the days, the weeks in our life where we felt like we were invincible with the Lord. Israel had him. And when they had it, he told them about it. He said, man, I'm blessing you. Don't you feel it? And all it took was one person to get distracted, and slowly the nation went away. Let's not have that happen to us. Let's continue to obey. Let's continue to persevere. And hey, tree of life, entrance into the city, we don't deserve it. But he's offering it. So let's take it. Let's seize every moment that we're given to worship the Lord. Let's stand. Call it good. Amazing how the Lord becomes the Lord your God. That closeness. 15 times in that chapter.
249.
If you have a need, definitely come this morning. If there's a silent prayer you can say in your seat, that's totally fine too. Definitely be in prayer for those who are out. Pray for our witness. That meter hasn't quite hit 3,000 yet. With Rosar's efforts, it'll get there. Keep witnessing in mind all the time. Let's share this with other people. I mean, this is a blessing that we can have. We can let other people know about it.
I am definitely uplifted. I think when I get in that hall, there's going to be cloud there waiting for me.
Well, be careful, there's stairs, okay? But yeah, that's the idea. That's the idea.
Amen.
Let's sing. We'll sing the first and the last of Just As I Am here.
Amen.
Yeah. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Sing the second. On the second. Just as I am. Scott, Brother Andrew.
Thank you for the uplifting message.
That was it. That was our message today. I'll share with you real briefly why I went to the altar. I have a brother who's just struggling. And I really hope that you keep him in your prayers. I just, you know, along with studying, I saw so many parallels to him in the Bible. You know, everyone's got that stuff. I mean, there's just so much stuff. So many distractions. So many things that can get in the way. I mean, it's just so wrong that the devil is so mean. But he is. I mean, he just is relentless. And it's just, you know, I've got someone who I grew up with is just killing him. And so that's why I felt led to go to the altar, because he was really in my thoughts a lot while I was gone. A lot of time to think, for sure, but I just in studying, you know, a few plane rides there and back, I just, you know, if there's anyone in this world that I wish could feel that again, it would be him. Maybe that's wrong to say. I don't know. But I just feel strongly about it. I just so burdened by it. I'm just aching over it. And so be in prayer for that guy. And, you know, hey, everyone's got an opinion on him. That's fine. Put that aside and just pray for him. That's all I'm asking. From friend to friend, brother to brother, sister, just whatever your feelings are on him, just put it aside and just pray for him. Just like you would pray any other contact. That's all I'm asking. If you can't do that, that's fine. I understand. But know that it's hurting your associate pastor, and I guarantee you it's hurting your senior pastor. Guarantee it. So, just be in prayer for him. I didn't mean for this to happen. I really didn't mean for all of that, but it just kind of hit me. So, just be in prayer for him. And everyone else. I mean, he's not the only one who needs the Lord. A lot of people who do. So, let's keep our witness always at the forefront of your mind. I left with 50 tracks. I didn't bring a single one back. And I know they're not coming here. You've got Houston. Why would you want to come to Missoula? But it's just planting the seed. That's all we're told to do. It's so easy. I love Rose Arch. You don't know what that did for me yesterday. That was awesome. That was so awesome. I actually thought it was Brother Scott. I'm sorry, but that was incredible. We're like, yeah, there it is. Ugh. Like, darn it, nobody took it. But we'll leave it for the next guy who maybe needed it. You know, I just love that. I love that.
No one took it, but someone planted it.
Planted it, and again, maybe the Lord's got someone in mind. Maybe the fifth person who uses that cart needed it. We'll need it. Maybe we'll see him in a month. Maybe we won't. It doesn't matter. He planted it. That's awesome. That's great. So, okay,
now,
I'm rambling.
You said for all of your invitations and all of you gave, whether verbally or whether, you know, you mailed a flyer or whatever, let's not be discouraged.
Not
sure
at all.
It's disappointing because we want this for them. But we're going to keep on because we know our God.
Well, then we'll set a goal next time to double the number of visitors for next Visitor Sunday. It's not hard to double zero. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I guarantee we'll have double the number we had today. Oh, really? Yes. I feel very confident about that. So, yeah, keep our witness in your prayers. And I have no problem eating brownies. Holy cow. That's good stuff back there. So, nothing else, we'll get some good fellowship out of it. We gotta lean on each other. The day's getting closer, everyone. I mean, I found myself racial profiling everyone who walked on that plane. And I know that that's wrong. But we know that the Lord is using the Islamic community for His purpose. We just know it. And so, we got no one else we can lean on. I can't lean on a single person that I was at this conference with. Or anyone here in town, except for you, my brethren. And so that's, hey, if we fellowship and have some brownies and slap Brother Oli's hand because he's had 6 brownies already, then hey, you know, we'll do that because we're tight. We're all brothers in the Lord, so. Okay. Let's close in prayer. Let our pastor close us in prayer, please.
Father, we do thank you for the uplifting message. Thank you, Lord, for the positive words that we find in your scriptures, written by ordinary men, but those who had a vision. The vision that you gave to them, that you revealed yourself and your son to them, including Paul, the small, great vision he had. And Lord, let this be our vision, individually and collectively as a body of Christ, that we should be so blessed. And look at others with voids in their mind, the confusion, the sins, the problems. And we say, but by the grace of God, there go us. We want them to be blessed. We want them to praise your name. We want more people to praise your name so that the praises get louder and louder. Because you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy of praise, honor, and glory. And so use this church, we pray, Father, to be that voice. Help us, Father, to catch men. Help us to catch men before it's too late. Thank you for these words. Thank you for this sermon. Thank you for the bearer of the sermon and the testimony that he has and his family. We pray you raise up his wife, his youngest daughter. Pray you be with the wards and raise them up. And thank the Lord for the testimonies of each family here. What a blessing. We all contribute in some way. In some measure, we all contribute to the joy that this body has and the peace and the harmony. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of one another and to pray for one another constantly. As Brother Andrew pointed out, he prays by name every sheep in this flock. Every sheep in this flock is special. We're thankful, Lord, even to our youngest members. We're thankful that they made a decision to serve Jesus. We pray, Father, for even the youngest ones, that they'll come up in their time. And because of the environment that their parents provide, that it will save them too. In the meanwhile, Lord, let us just keep on loving you and keeping your commandments with these deficiencies and bodies and minds that we have. Pray that we'll be true disciples and love one another. That's what we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.